There is a rule of public speaking that I think I've spoken about before. It's the KISS principle. KISS stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid. It's pretty good advice for a public speaker, and I know I don't always follow it. And navigating ourselves around life, we would like it to be simple, but actually much of the time, it's not. The trouble is that life can be complicated. Indeed, to suggest that something is simple when it's not is misleading and can be irresponsible. Which takes me to Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt, who are suggesting that renegotiating a deal on Brexit with the European Union before the 31st of October is possible and indeed is going to be fairly straightforward. The sheer power of one's personality or the experience of the other as an entrepreneur will make this a doddle, we are told. So who are they kidding? It is downright irresponsible with so much at stake for these people to suggest that something is simple when in fact it is manifestly complicated. It is selling a lie. But of course, things can be both simple and complicated. Take the game of football. At the heart, the principle of the game of football is very simple. One team has to pass the ball one to another and kick the ball into the opponent's net. It's very simple. But it gets complicated because people are involved. Kicking a ball is a pretty simple thing to do. Most of us can do it in one way or another, but kicking a ball in the right direction every time and at the right pace every time is fiendishly difficult. And to play football well, you have to work as a team. And we are not very good at working together as a team. And then there's the problem that you've got another team who are playing against you, who are trying to stop you playing. So the whole thing gets very complicated. Put it all together, this simple idea becomes difficult to put into practice. And only the very best make it look simple. But then if you lose sight of the essential simplicity of the game, that it's all about passing the ball and scoring goals, you can end up making it altogether too complicated and you lose the spirit and the enjoyment of the game. At the end of his letter to the Galatians, I think Paul wants to leave them with a simple message about what it means to live out their lives being faithful to Jesus, while recognizing that while it's simple, it can be complicated in practice. At heart, it is simple. He wants to hold to this KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. But then he doesn't want to pull the wool over anybody's eyes either. And when it comes to living out the Christian life, the simple principle is this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For Paul, living the way that Jesus came to initiate can be very simply summed up in this way. This is what it's all about. And he's pretty much repeating something here that he's already said earlier and that we were looking at last week, where Paul said, serve one another in love, or probably better, be slaves of one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, said Paul, love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is simply expressing this in different terms here, but both are about being servants and slaves of one another. Because who is it who carried all of the heavy burdens in the Roman households? It was the slaves. It was the servants. So Paul is saying, let's do the heavy lifting for one another. Let's help each other out. Let's do this support stuff for one another. Now, the illustration that I've used here for carrying each other's burdens, is the illustration that's to be found in the Good News Bible that was published many, many years ago. But some of the illustrations are wonderful. And I love this illustration of what it means to carry one another's burdens. Let's look at it closely. First of all, everyone is involved. From the youngest to the oldest, there are old people, there are children in this image, men and women. Everyone is involved because the illustrator knew that this embraces everybody. Secondly, everybody has got a burden to carry. There is nobody in this picture who is burden-free, and that's true of us. We come this morning and we all have our burdens that we're carrying. We may not say anything about it, we may not share it, but we will all have our burdens that we're carrying. And the other thing about this picture that's fascinating is, do you see the way in which he's drawn each of the burdens differently? And they're all being carried differently. Because as we come today, we all come with very different burdens, and they will weigh differently upon each one of us. We all have our burdens to bear. They are all different, but we are all carrying them. But then notice how everyone is being helped to carry their load. Everyone is carrying their burden, but there's somebody behind them also helping them to carry it. Everybody in this picture is being helped. And everyone is carrying someone else's load. Everyone is carrying both their own load and somebody else's load. The carrying of loads is not just for the one or two. This is for everybody. Even those who are carrying their own loads are being encouraged to carry each other's loads as well, so that we share this out all between us. Now, some of us, of course, are more in need than others at different times, but everybody carries everyone else's loads. But also notice how no one is carrying everyone's burden. No one person is called to carry more than others. This isn't separating some people out in the community who are carrying burdens and others who are bearing burdens. No one is carrying everybody's load. This is shared around the community. And I think this picture wonderfully sums up what it means to carry one another's burdens. And of course, when I was speaking earlier, talked about what this might mean in practice, in terms of being a shoulder to cry on, somebody to talk to, walking alongside people, lifting people up, supporting their weight. But carrying one another's burdens means more than this as well. When we raise money for Water Aid every Lent, we are bearing the burdens of those who have to carry water long distances every day, not by helping them to carry the water, but by providing the resources that are needed to provide fresh water so that they no longer have to carry those burdens. Helping people in that way. Today is Tax Justice Sunday. Tax Justice Sunday focuses on the need for a fair tax system for all, and for everybody to contribute fairly to the common tax pot. The Tax Justice campaign begins from the belief that in a modern democracy, paying tax is fundamentally a good thing to do, that we should want to do in order to support one another in the wider community. It is one way of bearing one another's burdens by everyone contributing fairly to the structures and services that keep society running and that support the weak and the disadvantaged. But it also includes campaigning to ensure that those who can do contribute to the common pot. But then this carrying one another's burden that is simple, it's accessible, it's for everybody to take hold of. It can get complicated because of who we are. We don't always find things easy to do, this carrying of one another's burdens. Paul actually leads into this simple piece of advice, already having given one example of what it might mean in practice and recognizing that it can get complicated. Just before this, Paul says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. This helping one another out can be about supporting one another when we make mistakes, trying to keep one another living lives that are in keeping with the ways of Christ. But let's be clear about this. Paul intends this to be everyone's responsibility. First of all, when he says, you who are spiritual, he is not singling out a few of the more spiritual in the congregation. He's already been talking about all of us walking in step with the Spirit. And this is an inclusive you. He is saying you, because you are spiritual, because you are walking in step with the Spirit, this is how you should be looking after one another. Now, I have to admit that I get very nervous here because I profoundly dislike judgmentalism of all sorts. I've seen the damage that it does to people and to churches when people start to criticize each other, not least because we can get very selective in the kinds of sin that we're willing to name and point out in others and overlook the sins that are closer to home but are deeply damaging of community life. But I think Paul is aware of all of that. He knows that in practice this is complicated stuff. It doesn't help us that the chapter break has been put at this point. Always remember when you're reading the New Testament, the whole of the Bible, that the chapter and verse breaks were put in many hundreds of years later. Paul didn't know anything about the chapters and verses. And sometimes the chapters have been put in and they break the flow of passages that belong together. All of what Paul is speaking about here is part of his encouragement to keep in step with the Spirit. And he immediately follows that with the warning not to become conceited, provoking and envying each other. For Paul, becoming conceited is the very opposite of walking in step with the Spirit. And so he doesn't then suddenly turn to a totally different subject. Rather, he gives an example of when conceit or arrogance can poison the community of the church. So he says, well, let's take an example of when someone is caught in sin. You should restore him. But because you are in step with the Spirit, you should do it with humility. When this is translated as gently, it doesn't quite capture the full meaning of the word that's used here. Because you can be arrogant, but choose to deal with somebody gently. But actually, this word means at its heart humility, with humility. And humility always rules out arrogance. So when we carry each other's burdens, we must always do it with humility. And especially when we're helping one another when people are making mistakes and we need to try to restore one another. And Paul adds to this, he said, watch yourself when you're doing this because you also may be tempted. He doesn't say that because he thinks that we might be tempted to do the same as the other person has been doing. He says that because in doing this business of trying to help one another out, put people on the right track, it is so easy to fall into the temptation of arrogance and pride. And we do it in a way that is about self-righteousness. The whole aim of the process is not to condemn and alienate, but to restore people, to hold them in community. And always, when we carry one another's burdens, we should do it with humility. Because it's so easy to do it in a condescending way, looking down on other people. You don't want to stand back and do nothing when someone is messing up their lives. But if we are to help them, it must be with humility. Bearing one another's burdens is simple, but when the rubber hits the road, knowing what we are like, carrying one another's burdens can be complicated and challenging. But then Paul seems to make it even more complicated. Because he says, each one of us should carry his own load. And he's also told us to watch out for conceit. But then in verse 4, he tells us that we can take pride in ourselves. And then that we should carry our own load. So what's going on here? How do we match these apparently opposing things up? Let's start with this business of carrying our own load. What Paul wants to make clear is that although we're called to carry one another's burdens, there is always a limit to what we can do for someone else and to what someone else can do for us. And it's summed up in our proverb, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. There are certain decisions in life that I can only make for myself. No one else can make those decisions for me. And so Paul begins verse 4 with saying each one should test his own actions. The load that we have to carry ourselves is the invitation to make life choices. I am the only one who can make those life choices for me, and you are the only one who can make those life choices for you. And if we try to carry one another's burdens by making those important decisions for them, we will always fail because they are human. They have to take those decisions for themselves. Carry each other's burdens, but the burden to make life choices is ourselves. The burden to live for self or for others is for us to take. The burden to carry one another's burdens or to think oneself too important or too meaningless to do that is our burden to carry. To live in step with the Spirit of God or in step with the spirit of the times is ours to take. To live for God or for self, that's a choice that only we can make and no one can make it for us. And there is a pride that we can take in making those right choices. But a pride that has much more to do with self-respect and a sense of dignity than with the arrogance of conceit. The pride that Paul talks about here is a pride that is nothing to do with comparing yourself with other people or putting yourself above others. It is that self-respect that comes from being ourselves whole and full before God, a pride that can walk hand in hand with an attitude of humility and a spirit of service. And that is ultimately because this pride comes not as achievement, but as gift from God. In verse 14, Paul makes this clear. May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So living as followers of Jesus in the world, it's simple. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But at the same time, it can get complicated because life is complicated and we are complicated, and it will take a lifetime and more for us to sort out what this actually means. But however complicated to put into action, we must never lose the simplicity of what it's all about to follow the way of Christ. Carry each other's burdens.